You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I am your host, Chris Chambers, and I am here and joined as usual with Mr. Andrew Chamberlain, CEO of Jericho Road Ministries. Andrew, as always, thanks again for joining us for this episode.
It's a privilege. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Caught him in the middle of a drink. So we have this Good to Great series by Jim Collins that we're continuing to go through. And again, we've spoken about the disciplined people, we've spoken about the disciplined thought, and here's where the rubber meets the road, right? The disciplined action. So now as we see the company moving forward, as that breakthrough really is starting to take place, we got to be careful, right? There can be temptations all over the place. And again, in another episode, we'll go through that 20-mile mark, but you know, there's temptations to go, hey, when really, really good times, it's going to overextend ourselves, and really, really difficult times, maybe we don't get to where we need to be. You know, again, there's that idea of that disciplined action. We got to be disciplined thought leading to disciplined action. So that's where we're looking at today, specifically disciplined action and the culture of discipline. So that's culture of discipline from a leadership standpoint, all the way down to everybody in the company. With that being said, Andrew, go ahead and take it away.
I want to start this by kind of pointing back to an episode we pre-recorded, the hedgehog concept, because in essence, these two, you got to have that. And so, Chris, without saying that whole episode again, can you give us a little blip of that one more time?
Yeah. So, and again, let's do a twofold thing here. So we got the disciplined thought. That disciplined thought is really comprised of two things. Number one, it's confronting the brutal facts. And again, in that episode, we spoke about you confront the brutal facts, but you do so with that faith that, hey, we're going to get through this, right? With the belief we can do this, but not with blinders on, thinking that everything's just going to be okay, right? So both of those things are important: confronting the brutal fact, but also knowing that we're gonna do what we need to do to get through. And then that hedgehog concept, and again, the hedgehog concept, again, in a nutshell, you have three pieces of that hedgehog concept. You got to figure out what is it that you're able to be go ahead, Andrew.
No, go.
I got you. Number one is what can you be the best in the world at, right? It's what can you do really, really well, again, better than anybody else. And again, it's not a desire to be very good at that. It's not a belief that one day maybe I can get there. It's, you got to know your skills. Here's my skill set. This is what I know I can be really, really good at. Number one. Number two, what are you passionate about, right? What do you enjoy doing? Where do you like to help people, right? What are you passionate about that you can be the best in the world? That both of those things need to line up. And the third piece that needs to line up there under the hedgehog concept is, what can you make money at? What can you make money doing? Because again, if you only have the passion and the skill set, but you can't make money, you got a hobby, right? It's not a business.
Yeah. And that's the part I really wanted you to get at. And that's I think I'm saying this right. This is one of those words you always mess up.
Oh, the Venn diagram.
Venn diagram. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. And so you picture that you got the three circles and that overlap. That's the hedgehog. All right. Yeah. So the reason I want to start with that is that if you, again, you're looking at this from the diagram that Jim's giving, this is the upward part now. And so you're starting to see some success, right? And prior to the actual recording of this episode, even though we're still on live, we were talking about, you know, in your firm in particular, you guys are, I think you're in that part now, and it's really exciting. And I've seen those personal conversations where people have been like, hey, you should do this or you should do that. And I think this is where the discipline thought comes in so particular now, because why? You've got to stay focused on the thing that has been bringing you success. Maybe that's the simplest way to say it, because it's for whatever reason, when you start to take off that idea, that run, or, you know, your plane's going or whatever, there's then starts to, for whatever reason, become these temptations. Well, man, now we could do this, or now we could do that, or now we could do this, or now we can do that. And if you are not careful in that, you can overextend yourself, not only from a resource standpoint, but from maybe a personnel standpoint, whatever. You can overextend yourself, and then that can be your demise. So you have to stay disciplined. So before we kind of dive into that a little more, I want us to think about, there's somebody that comes to my mind in particular. It's Elon Musk. And the reason he comes to mind for me with this is that I see him do different things. And, you know, that may seem contradictory to what we're saying here, but my impression of him is when he gets that, whatever that thing is, in a very healthy, it can run on its own, it can do its own thing, that's when he seems to kind of branch off. Because I have that personality. I like to do a lot of different things, you know, and I don't know if that's you or not, but I know I'm that type of person who likes to do that. And so sometimes you may be, especially if you're listening to this, you may be thinking, you know what? Well, I want to dabble in all these different things. Disciplined thought seems a little boring to me. But if that's going to be you, let me just caution you. If that's me, let's caution. Make sure the thing that you're doing is doing really well before you start dabbling in anything. So that's just a little preface. So let's get to this idea of disciplined thought. You've got
and
to
real be quick, able, Andrew, yeah, real quick, before you can continue there, you know, I'll just mention, I can't remember if I've mentioned this on here or not, but, you know, I served Habitat for Humanity for about 7 years on the board there, and we did some training, nonprofit training on drift, vision or mission drift, right? And I remember there were some things that came up where we thought about giving away some grants for education. We thought about, you know, scholarships and things like that we thought about doing. And then it kind of struck us like, wait a minute, what are we here to do, right? At Habitat for Humanity, it's here to help individuals to build homes for themselves, right? Everyone deserves a good place to stay or something along those lines was the mission. That's it, right? Are these other things good, education? So it's absolutely,
right?
That's not our mission, right? That wasn't our mission. And so same thing for a company, for a businessman, we got to know what is our mission, what is our goal? And if good things are out there that we could be a part of, we got to make sure, is that continuing to fulfill this mission? And that's where that disciplined thought leads to that disciplined action. So
I mean that's exactly it, because in this summary part he puts this thing, he says the fact that something is a once in a lifetime opportunity is irrelevant unless it fits within the three circles. Yeah. And that's the key. And again, and I jumped too soon to talk about like personality and we want all these things, but if you're thinking about your business, you cannot say, hey, my business is our vision is to make the best, I don't know, let's say watch, right? Well, you got to focus on making that watch. Oh, well now, man, we can make dog houses. Well, what in the world has that got to do with the watch? That's the idea. Even if it's the greatest opportunity out there, stick to it, because why? And this is the word that I think you use so well. There is a lot of success in being niche. There's a lot of success and having that particularness. So as someone who deals with this concept of being very strategic in our language, we have our vision, mission, core values. Okay. So our vision, where we're going, mission, what we're doing, core values, who we are. All right. So we have these three words that we always think about, these H's: helping the hurting, the hungry, and the homeless. If it does not fit in those three things, hurting, hungry, homeless, we're not doing it. And it's not that it's not good. It's not that it can't. Maybe somebody else can do it. You know, we got some great people that do these other things that we can't do. You know, there's another nonprofit in this area that, you know, we've actually helped other nonprofits in the area because they're doing something different than us. And I want them to be successful. You know what I mean? Because that, they're hitting another thing, but those are our three things: hurting, hungry, homeless. So you've got to have that. You've got to have that laser-like. And it's not just in that, you've got to have your people laser-like in that. So let's hit that with B&I real quick. That's why B&I says what? Be specific to be terrific. Yeah. You've got to know what you're after and why you're after. Like Sean said today, don't just ask for ice cream, ask for Rocky Road with marshmallows and all. That's it. That's exactly what this is. Be very disciplined in that thought. So Chris, I'm going to turn it to you here for a second. You guys focus specifically on, I know you got veterans, you got Social Security, and that's kind of that wheelhouse, if you will. And we've talked about that quite a bit, but that is the laser-like focus. And I'm not asking you just repeat those same things, but what is it that you found that, and try to relate this to other businesses from a law side, look, hey, we got to know a whole lot to be good at this. Relate that maybe to somebody else's industry, specifically if they think, well, you know, I've already mastered this. There's so much more to master, isn't there?
Oh, well, yeah. And again, one of the things that's happened, you know, with the pandemic in our practice in particular is all of the hearings that I was doing previously, I'd have to drive down to Bay Pines. Bay Pines is where the regional office is in the state of Florida. So any hearings that we had, that's where we went. So the judges from Washington, D.C. flew down here. They would be here for a week or two, hold the hearings. I'd drive down there, you know, hour and a half back. I was having to do this on a regular ongoing basis. And with the pandemic, obviously all that shut down and now everything is just like this. So instead of us being in person, we're like this on kind of a Zoom platform, similar to this, and we're holding all of the hearings. This is one thing that I did more hearings in the first 2 months of this year than I think I did all of maybe 2019 and 2020 combined. I'll just give you an idea of how many we did in the first 2 months. So pretty amazing. And again, I only say that because of what you just mentioned. I thought I knew a lot about the law. And again, I've been practicing for 10 years in this particular area. And I train myself. I go to two national conferences a year. I got one coming up, in fact, next week. And again, inundating myself with these hearings like this, and these, again, fast and furious, we're talking 5, 6, 7 hearings in a single day. It showed me that, man, I got so much more to learn, right? So I would be careful if you ever start to get that attitude of, I've got it all figured out. I don't think I can do this any better. I bet if you look a little bit deeper, you'll find there's something else for you. There's some more you can learn.
That's it. That right there is it. Because why? We have this temptation, especially when we start to be successful, to what? To kind of rest or say, yeah, I got it. I've got it all figured out. I've arrived. That's it. And you have it. Nobody has. So you have to stay disciplined in this. One other thing in this that I think is very interesting that I want to point out, and if you have anything else, feel free to add. He puts this point of like, stop doing lists become just as important or more important than to-do list. Mm-hmm. I think that's so crucial. You know, learning how to say no. That is a big deal to be disciplined, because I think many of us, if we are honest to admit, we have this people pleasing we'll just call it that, a people pleasing side to us, mm-hmm. that sometimes we extend ourselves or our businesses or our organizations further than they need to be. We have this idea that we can do more than we actually can do. And so he makes this point, you have to start saying, no, I can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. I do these 1, 2, 3, 4 things, whatever it is. Have you seen that in yourself, learning how to say, nope, can't do it, I'm sorry. Because I imagine maybe there's even some clients you've had to turn down, or there's had to be some opportunities you've had to say no to.
So yeah, a couple of things. I'll mention one, there was a practice area that we, you know, in 2018, we decided we were going to do. And over the last 3 years, we've decided that's not a practice area that we feel is best suited for our practice and for our attorneys here. And so we decided to kind of to wind those down. And now we're referring those particular cases out. Right. Again, we've decided to be more niche, more specialized in what we do. So that's one area. Second area I'd say, though, is when we're dealing with potential clients, like you said, again, this could be friends, of family members that call and ask for, you know, help in different areas. If it's outside of what we do, you know, you mentioned the three pieces for you again, VA, Social Security, pretty much it, other than it's some estate planning. We do some estate planning as well. We do a lot of estate planning for our veterans. But outside of, you know, that, we generally will say, you know, refer them out. And it's not because we don't want to help them. Absolutely want to help them. The truth of the matter is, I'm going to find somebody who does that day in, day out, just like I do VA day in, day out, right? I'm going to find somebody that does that for you, and they're going to be able to help you much better than I can, right, at that particular area. So that would be, those would be the two things that I would say when saying no. And again, sometimes saying no is the best thing for them. I can mess your case up. You know, I've been practicing law for a long time, but particular areas, right? There's a lot of areas that I don't practice. I don't want to mess your case up. I want somebody who is very, very good, expert, if you will, at what they do, and I want them to help you out. And I'm doing them a service by referring that out. So as far as different businesses, again, if it's not what you do, again, let's refer that out. They're going to be grateful that you did in the end, as opposed to trying to get in there, getting your hands dirty, and then maybe making some mistakes. So those would be the two things I've mentioned.
Yeah, I think that's good. Let me add one to that, and then I'll be done here. If you have built a staff or you are building a staff, also learn that as well within your staff. So an example for us, I get a lot of calls still. Hey, Andrew, can you come pick up this piece of furniture or something like that? So I'm like, used to, I would try to handle all that stuff and try to plan it, yada, yada. Now I'm like, no. I'll be like, hey, thanks for reaching out. Let me connect you to the guy within our team that handles that, right? And the reason I say that is you've got to also learn how to allow, if you're starting to have staff, or you have staff, you allow them to do their job. You cannot assume specifically, if you've given this responsibility to someone else, you cannot now assume this back on yourself. You've got to allow them to do your job. So I'll say that too. Make sure that you know how to say no with even in your own organization, so your organization can thrive. So again, discipline thought specifically as you start to take off, how important that is to stay focused. Then I think that's the new core. Is that how we say that? The new core, three circles. All right. That hedgehog, stay in that one spot. Keep hitting it. Be consistent. Anything you want to add there?
Yeah, I'll just kind of tease up the last episode of this particular series. You were just mentioning, you know, you would handle the scheduling of these particular pickups, right? And then you said, listen, I can't do it all this anymore, handing it off to staff. And at this point, y'all actually moved into some technology, right? And now folks can go online, they can schedule this, makes it easier for everybody involved. So anyhow, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the next episode.
Great.
All right, man. Well, hey, listen, thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Winning Edge Podcast. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge Podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking!